The topic today is, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? I don't really have one scripture text. I have two. You know, in the New Testament, this phrase, praying in the Spirit, it appears twice. And two different authors, Paul and Jude, both use this phrase, praying in the Spirit. But interestingly enough, they don't really explain exactly what they mean by it, at least not directly. And so a few months ago, I was preaching through the armor of God, and I stumbled on this phrase, praying in the Spirit, and I thought that I could share with you some things that I've learned on what it means to pray in the Spirit. You know, I think to try to solve or understand what it means to pray in the Spirit, a lot of it has to do with the word in. You know, just like the English language, the Greek word in can mean various things when you use it in various contexts. And so I'll try to use the various contexts of how we use the word in, even in the English language, to share with us what it means to pray in the Spirit. And my hope is that this is not just going to be a theological exercise, but really I hope that it's going to be an encouragement to you. You know, the first way that we use praying, the word in the English language is when we say something like, I speak in the name of the King. You know, when we say, I speak in the name of the King, we don't just mean the location of where we are speaking. Rather, what we're meaning is that I'm empowered by the King to say something. And so, in this sense, praying in the Spirit means to pray empowered by the Spirit. You know, we get a good glimpse of what that means when we look at two passages by Paul in Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 12. I think these are familiar passages. Let me read them quickly. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And then 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is a curse. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Well, when you put these two passages together, you get the sense in which no one can say Father. No one can say Lord and mean it truly unless they are in the Spirit. Isn't that such an encouragement to us? Because I'm guessing that when we pray, the two most common words that we will probably use in our prayers are Father and Lord. You know, sometimes we even use the word Lord as a word filler in our prayer. I'm Lord, I pray Lord, you know, and we sometimes perhaps use it without really meaning what we say. But if we pause for a moment, we might realize that actually when we pray and we call our Father, or when we call God our Father and we call Jesus our Lord, this is not something that you can do. That's what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3. You only can do it when you're empowered by the Spirit. And so when you actually say Father when we pray, when we actually say Lord and you actually mean it, you actually can be encouraged that you are praying in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit doesn't require gimmicks or speaking in tongues or long hours of fasting. Even the act of saying Father and Lord is an action empowered by the Spirit. So that's what we see in the first point, in the first way we use the word in. There's another way we use the word in the English language, and you can see that in the Greek as well. And that is, we mean praying in the Spirit in the sense that we are taught by the Spirit. We use the word in this way. Maybe you might say, I cook my scrambled eggs in the style of Gordon Ramsay, which I do. And the way we use the word in that sense, means we are following what the chef has taught us. And similarly, to pray in the Spirit is to pray as taught by the Spirit. And how has the Spirit taught us to pray? Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, just before Paul tells us to pray in the Spirit, he tells us to take the sword of the Spirit. And he tells us, what is the sword of the Spirit? It is the Word of God. And so there we have it. The Spirit teaches us how to pray. Again, not through some mystical way, but through the Word of God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 99. The theologians of the past noted that the whole Word of God, every single part of the Word of God, is of use to direct us in prayer, but especially the Lord's Prayer. And that's why we say the Lord's Prayer every week on Sunday, to not just, it's not a formality, but really it's a reminder of how God is guiding us to pray. But here we also should remember that the whole Word of God is to be used. We use, for example, the rebukes of God to inform our confession of sin. Perhaps when we think about, read the story of Martha being rebuked by Jesus, we realize that we too should confess our sins for being troubled by much service and not sitting at Jesus' feet. Or we can use the promises of God, for example, to guide us in our supplication to Him. When we read, for example, of God saying, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, we can claim these promises in the darkest of our trials. And there's so much more that we can say. We can use the laments of the Psalms to teach us to bring our grievances to God. We can use the truths that we learn about God in His Word to inform our adoration of Him. We can use the doxologies, the thanksgivings that the Apostle Paul has in his epistles to inform us on how we should thank God. The point here is that the whole Word of God can be used for directing us to pray. And that's because the Spirit of God uses the Word of God and He applies it to the people of God. You know, I watch a lot of Gordon Ramsay videos. Once in a while, I try to cook like him. I don't succeed. But one thing he likes to say when he's cutting onions or anything is that he says, let the knife do the work. Let the knife do the work. I don't quite know exactly what that means. I've tried, but it didn't really work. But I think that phrase can be applied when we think about the sword of the Spirit. Hold the sword of the Spirit and let the sword do the work in us, empowering us and teaching us how to pray. Thirdly, to pray in the Spirit is not just to pray empowered by the Spirit, not just to pray taught by the Spirit, but to pray together with the Spirit. You know, we use the word in English this way when we say, I play in the team, meaning I'm part of the team. I'm part of this operation that we're doing. See, for us to pray in the Spirit is really for us not just to pray empowered by the Spirit, not just to pray taught by the Spirit, but to pray as the Spirit prays for us. This is what we see in Romans 8, 26. The Spirit helps us in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Martin Luther, in his commentary, actually on Galatians, but this is what he says. In our temptations, the Spirit intercedes for us not with a long speech, not with a sermon, but only with a groan which cannot be uttered. But this one little word, Father, this one short but all-embracing word, is sufficient to block out all the noise of the world. And so we see that to pray in the Spirit is to pray empowered by, taught by the Spirit, and finally, to participate in the Spirit's prayer for us. It is this kind of prayer, Spirit-empowered prayer, that in the context of Ephesians 6, will help us to stand against the schemes of the devil. Even as Paul is describing the various pieces of God's armor, He tells the Ephesians that the Ephesian Christians that they are to put on every single part of the gospel armor and each piece to put on with prayer, praying in the Spirit. Or in Jude 20 and 21, we see that Jude's main command to us is to keep ourselves in the love of God. But how are we to do that? We have to do that by praying in the Spirit. We live in an evil time. And every so often we realize that just by reading the news or in our own lives, we realize that we're living in the end times. And in these last days, as we have known from the scriptures, the love of many will grow cold. And the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He's seeking someone to devour. We see many people falling to discouragement, to immorality, which are just a few schemes of the devil. And what will keep us in the love of God? What will help us to stand in the evil day? And the answer is praying in the Spirit. And so now as we pour our prayers to God, let us cry out with all sincerity and truth to our Heavenly Father. And let us pray with with His words on our lips. And let us be reminded that in all this praying, it's not just we who are praying, but the Spirit who is praying for us. But you know, it's on this front that we realize how much we have failed, because we have not prayed as we ought. We are very much like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus has exhorted them to pray. What happened to them? They fell asleep. And even when Jesus has woken them up from their slumber and said, pray, they continued to sleep. But Jesus said this. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith fails not. And that is, underlying all of this, a great encouragement to us that Jesus is praying for us. You know, I have the privilege just this morning to be praying with the pastoral team, and we have a meeting, and we spend the last few minutes of our meeting praying for some of the needs of the church by name, and we pray for some people by name. You know, imagine one day you come by the church office for some reason, and you open the door, and then you hear Reverend Sid praying for you by name. Wouldn't that be so encouraging to you? But now then, imagine someone else. Imagine when you open the door, you see Jesus. Okay, this is just an example, right? You see Jesus Christ in the flesh praying for you in a room by name. How will you feel? Surely you feel even more encouraged. Now let me end with a quote from Robert Mary McShane. He said, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. I'm sure you agree with that statement too. I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. Jesus is praying for me. Whether it is in the next room or in heaven, the reality is the same. Jesus Christ, the second person, the Godhead, He is interceding and praying for you. And so when we pray to God, the Father, empowered by the Spirit of God, taught by the Spirit of God, and even more than that, it is Jesus' Spirit that is praying for us. Jesus lives to make intercession for us. And so we can be encouraged and we can be motivated to keep on praying in the Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God, we realize what a privilege we carry, that we can bring everything to you in prayer, that we can call you Lord, that we can call you Father. It is not something that we have done by ourselves. We couldn't have done it ourselves, but it is by the Holy Ghost. So Lord, help us to never lose the wonder of prayer. Help us never to lose this wonder that we start thinking that we have to go to other means or to try more mystical ways to have communion with you. Well, let's just help us to grow in our discipline of prayer, because you have taught us that we should pray always and not faint. Lord, I pray for all the fainting hearts right now. Would you come to strengthen us by the Spirit? Give us the spirit of wisdom so that we may know how to pray. Give us a spirit of power so that we are able to pray. And when we fail, and we will fail, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, pray for us. For we ask this in the name of our intercessor, Jesus Christ. Amen.